This is the Improved Photography Podcast, episode number 122. This episode is brought to you by Squarespace. Squarespace is the very easiest way to start your photography portfolio and to make it look beautiful. Squarespace features an elegant interface, beautiful templates, and incredible 24/7 customer support. Try Squarespace at squarespace.com and enter offer code IMPROVE at checkout to get 10% off. Squarespace, build it beautiful. Hey, everybody, and welcome back to the Improved Photography Podcast. I am Jim Harmer, your host, and today I'm joined by my friend Darren Meller.
Hey, Jim, how are you doing today?
Well, I'm doing great. I'm just getting over my jet lag from our China trip. And in this episode, we want to kind of focus on the things that we learned on that trip. We don't want to be too self-indulgent with travelogues, but we want to kind of take you with us and share some of the things that we learned and we experienced while we were there. For me, this was a huge trip for my portfolio. Usually each travel group trip that I go on, there's, you know, usually one photo that will make it into my portfolio of my very favorite photos that I've taken of all time. The China trip, I had a hard time not replacing the whole portfolio. I mean, it was just so awesome. How about you? Were you happy with how things ended up, Darren?
Yeah, I'm extremely pleased with the photos that my father and I came home with. I actually remember sitting next to you on the bus as you were editing photos to get ahead of schedule before you hit the U.S. soil. And I said, how many keepers do you have? And I was actually surprised by your response to say more than one or two. And that really is testament to how beautiful it was there.
Yeah, it was. And it was just so authentic the way that we got to see China. When I got back, I posted on my Facebook, and a personal friend of mine said, you know, I have gone on business to 20 or 30 different cities in China and seen a lot of China, and none of it looked at all like that. Because if you just go to the big cities, and we only spent two nights in a big city just at the very start and end so we could be near the airport. But all the rest of the time, we were way out in the sticks, you know, going on bamboo rafts in the what felt like the middle of the night to get to the photo locations, you know, hiking way early to get to the right spots, just all along the Li River with these just unimaginable, awesome mountains that just kind of peek up all over the place, just dotting the landscape. It's just absolutely incredible. The colors there's just like a thick layer of haze everywhere you go. And so there's just kind of this sienna tone to the sky all the time within 2 hours of sunrise or sunset. And it just kind of bathes everything in kind of that rich brown light. It was so interesting. The people had such character in their faces, and just everywhere we went was a totally unique, incredible opportunity.
Oh, it sure was. And I even submitted a little 15-second video on my Facebook feed of my dad and I just riding back after one of our sunrise shoots on the boat. And it wasn't the best camera work just holding my iPhone there, but everyone just said, wow, that just looks surreal. And I can truly identify with why James Cameron decided to allow Avatar Guilin, China, in that area we were in, to inspire the scenes for Avatar. It's breathtaking. You can point a camera anywhere, and chances are, if the composition's there, you have a great shot.
Yeah, absolutely. This place was made for compositions, because I don't know how else to explain it. You got to go look at the photos. Just go look at the photos. We'll have links in the show notes. But they're just, these mountain peaks, they just shoot up, you know, just shoot up straight up like toothpicks popping up out of the landscape. And so with so many elements there, it made composition so easy to just find a little line of the mountains or whatever, and moving the cormorant fishermen in so they kind of match the line of the mountains and stuff. It was a fun element that you always had in all your photos to play with.
Yeah, and we also bounced around from city to little city, and they were actually cities probably to us, but because of the population, but it just had a small town feel to it. And everyone who popped out, they were extremely friendly to have their photos taken. There were a couple people that waved a cane in my face and threatened me with their walking stick. But for the most part, everyone was just really intrigued to have someone new from a different culture come in. And actually, I think they could feel the fact that we were appreciating the beauty of their surroundings.
Yeah, it was so fun. We were talking, I was on the Portrait Session podcast on your show this week. And one of the things we talked about is just how interesting it was that the vast majority of the people like loved getting their photo taken. Like parents were like shoving their kids out in front of us to get their kids' picture taken. It's like, yeah, that's not quite how it works in the United States. It was just so neat to see the people that they were just happy and they weren't afraid of you. It was just fun to shoot, and it really made it an awesome part of the experience. When we went, I didn't expect portrait photography to be the focus there, but now that I look at my photos, the best photos from the trip, maybe everyone or almost everyone has a person in it. You know, sometimes a portrait, but a lot of times just a person incorporated in the landscape. And it was really neat to shoot that way. Very different from anything I've done.
Yeah. And speaking of which, what would you say are some takeaways or some lessons learned that you came across while photographing this wonderful place?
Well, one is that is like, for example, when we were at the Longji Rice Terraces, these are the just beautiful terraced mountains, just as far as the eye can see, that took over 300 years for the people to build. And it's just so cool, all these lines on the mountain, like for composition, it's perfect. And the, you know, I was taking photos there and it was beautiful. But then as I look at them on the computer, it's like, all of my favorites had, you know, a little ant-sized farmer in the field because it gave perspective to the whole landscape of the scale of what you were seeing, or certainly the cormorant fisherman. Like it was a beautiful, you know, river there with the sunrise and all these mountains in the background, but you add the fisherman's boat just as a small element in the photo, and it just sets the scene for everything. And so one lesson I really learned is, especially when you're traveling and it's interesting to see the people, you got to incorporate the people into the landscape. And so I don't know what you call it, if it's a portrait, an environmental portrait, or just a landscape that happens to have a person, but it was really fun to do that.
Very cool. And what I feel that I took away from it was maybe not having that fear so much of leaving lenses behind. I think I took a total of a 70 to 200 millimeter lens, a 100 to 400 millimeter lens, and then also a 24 to 105 and a 16 to 35. And I really think I could have left the 100 to 400 home and survived with just the 70 to 200 because it did kind of weigh me down. It was nice to have that backpack full of gear with me in case I needed to switch or lend a lens to another photographer in the group who shot with the same camera system as I do. But I think that I could have gotten away with two lenses on that trip, the whole thing.
I took four lenses, but one of them was just a duplicate. I took the Tamron 15-30, which is my new go-to landscape photography lens, and I also brought the Nikon 16-35. And the only reason I brought them both, they're very similar lenses, is a backup. I don't want to travel all the way to China and have my primary lens, you know, junk out on me on the first day and not be able to shoot. And so I brought a duplicate of that just in case. And I also brought a backup camera body for that same reason. But other than backups, I had my wide angle, a normal lens, 24 to 70, and a telephoto 70 to 200. And it was heavy to carry around those three lenses and a body and other gear. I brought flashes with me and everything. Everywhere we went, hiking, everywhere I had all that gear, and it was heavy and it was weighing me down and it was a nuisance. But every time I left one of the lenses in the hotel and thought, I'm just going to bring the wide angle, I got there and I was like, oh man, I really need the telephoto for this or that. For me, it was kind of the opposite lesson in a way of just, just don't leave anything behind. You don't go to China every day. And so let your back break and, you know, take the pain, but get the photo. And so for me, every time I left a lens behind, I regretted it. I wish I had kind of an all-around lens, like your 24 to 105 on Canon. There's not anything real similar to that in Nikon. I mean, kind of, but not to that quality. And so I don't have a great just kind of walk around general purpose lens. And so I end up just carrying all three. If I did have like a 24 to 105, I could have done the whole trip and been very happy with a wide angle and then the all purpose lens.
Yeah, and quite honestly, I think that the backbreaking effort is worth it, because when we went on this trip, our guides were very keen to tell us that this is not really just an outing, it's an excursion, and I lost 15 pounds while I was there, and some of it was probably due to a little food poisoning, but for the most part, all the hiking and everything, it was so worth it when you got to the top of a location. There weren't any more steps left for you to escalate, and you would just be able to just reach out and then look at something beautiful, set up your tripod, and just take it all in. And sometimes I would find myself just looking around and admiring the beauty, just wondering what I need to photograph, because I just wanted to photograph everything and stitch it together as maybe an 80 image panorama or something to that degree.
And by a little food poisoning, is that how you characterize vomiting 6 times before breakfast?
Yeah, and then the 8 time, or a total of 8 after walking down the mountain. But yeah, that was another lesson learned, is to make sure to eat with the group. I mean, we ventured off to a place that our guides usually have some really good luck with, and I think it was either the tomatoes or the pineapple that was on the Hawaiian style pizza. And yeah, it was the reason we did it was they said, well, we don't want you to go to bed with an empty stomach at 3 a.m. and be feeling hungry. Well, I can at least say at 3 a.m. I was emptying my stomach.
Oh man, that was awful. It was awful. But by far, I mean, for most of the trip, the food was good. Chinese food basically is what you get here at a Chinese restaurant, just that it's super oily. Mm-hmm. Super oily. I mean, it's just like the amount of milk you would have in your cereal, that much oil. But I love the culture. It was so cool that it was just so authentic everywhere we went. I mean, we were taking bamboo rafts down the river to get to the photo locations and stuff. I'm glad that we got to do it. And our guides did a good job of kind of taking us to the westernized hotels a little bit, so that, you know, we at least had a decent bed and a regular toilet like we're used to. But at the same time, it felt very authentic, and I loved that.
Yeah, and I'd really like to talk about our guides and how important and instrumental they were in making this trip possible, and the diverse set of photographers that joined us on this trip. But before we move on, I'd like to take a moment to thank Squarespace for making this episode of the Improved Photography Podcast possible. Squarespace is simple, powerful, and beautiful, and it offers 24/7 live support, and that's something that Jim and I have not had to take advantage of because it's so easy to use. And their price point, you really can't beat it. It's only $8 a month to get a free domain if you buy Squarespace for 1 year. They have very responsive design, so as your design and outlook for your website decides to change, it's just a couple clicks to make that look great on any device that you want. They have commerce tools and even a great set of features called cover pages that make your site look beautiful as someone lands on your webpage, to just give you a great presence within minutes. Please start your free trial with no credit card required and start building your website today. When you decide to sign up for Squarespace, which I know you definitely will after seeing it, make sure to enter offer code IMPROVE to get 10% off your first purchase to show your support for Improved Photography. We'd like to thank Squarespace for their support of the Improved Photography Podcast. Squarespace, build it beautiful.
Yeah, Squarespace really is awesome. I just updated my Squarespace site today with the China photos, like 3 minutes and I'm done. It's awesome. Well, one thing that really made our trip, really made it what it was, is the fact that we hired a guide. I've had hit or miss experiences with guides in different locations that I've gone to. A lot of times, well, always their knowledge of the location is good. It's what they do. But often I haven't enjoyed being with the person the whole time. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they're just, you know, not somebody you want to spend 24 hours a day with for a week while you're at a location shooting, or, you know, different things. But the guides that we had on this trip were just absolutely awesome. Everybody on the trip enjoyed the guides. Their knowledge of the place was really helpful. But especially for the photography, there's no way we would have gotten as good of photos without our guides. I mean, They knew exactly, they knew all the cormorant fishermen and which ones looked the coolest, which one, you know, did the best job throwing the cast net so that we could do that shot in a specific spot. And, you know, it wasn't just like, hey, go walk down this street and do street photography. It was like, walk down this street and see if you find any off the cuff opportunities, which we found a ton shooting people on the street. But I'm going to be at the end of the street and there's somebody that I've arranged that you can go into their house and see what it's like in their house, you know, in a typical Chinese person's house in this rural setting. And we were in their house taking pictures of them there, setting up different photos in their tiny little houses. Like it made all the difference in the world. There is no chance I would have gotten half as many photos without their expertise and help as we shoot. So it's definitely got me thinking as we go to other places around the world that I'm going to try my hardest to find a guide half as good as these guys were. It made a big difference. That's GuilinPhotoTours.com. Andy and Mia Beals were just absolutely awesome. So if you happen to be going there, you've absolutely have to check them out. But finding a guide in general can be hit or miss. But this was a definite hit and we loved it.
Oh yeah. And both of them even took care of me with that spout of food poisoning. They made sure that I was okay. And they were very attentive to me. And I mean, just the amount of compassion that these two have to make sure that we not only come home with good photos, but we're also safe and still operating within our comfort zone as far as not going out on the side of a cliff, unless your name's Jim Harmer. they're very, very good at making sure that everything's tailored to a photography experience.
Yeah, it was absolutely awesome. So, Darren, what's kind of a miss that you had during the trip? Like, as you look through the photos that you actually, you know, got, what you walked away with, are there certain areas that you said, I wish I could have had that shoot back, or something you would have changed as you were shooting in one of the areas?
Yeah, I think it was the first cormorant fisherman shoot that we did. We didn't really incorporate any speed lights. We did on the second one, or a sunrise shoot, where the second shoot we did with them out of a total of three. And it was one sunset shot where I just really would have liked to have some fill light on his face. I got some neat shots of the silhouette of him casting his net and some neat shots of the birds flying out and catching a silhouette of a fish landing in the water. And it turned out really well from a silhouette standpoint and actually just using it as kind of a lifestyle type landscape shot. But in the same sense, the expression on his face as he counted in Chinese to throw out his net was just priceless, and I would have loved to have captured that detail.
Okay. And yeah, that one really threw me for a loop, because the sunset wasn't real great that night. It was just kind of, it was just very bright, and it was one of those days where it just got dark. You know, there wasn't as much color that very first night. While I was shooting it, the whole time I kind of had the attitude of, this isn't it. I missed it. And I knew we were coming back two more times to shoot the cormorant fisherman. And so I kind of let my guard down a little bit. And I wasn't working for the shot as much as I should have been. I mean, I was shooting, but I don't know. Maybe my heart just wasn't quite in it, because I knew, this doesn't have the color that I'd like to see in the sky. But then when I got home got to the hotel and looked at my photos at 2 o'clock in the morning, we got back late and I couldn't go to sleep. I had to look at the photos. So I started looking at them, and man, there were some really, really cool things in there. And the lighting was different than I had imagined. You know, going there, I really wanted that blue hour shot with the lantern and everything. And this wasn't that, but it was really, really neat and ended up being some of my best shots of the trip. And so it was a lesson to me that just because things aren't quite how you expected them to be on the shoot, you still have to keep your guard up, because you don't know what it's going to be. And it turned out it was something pretty cool.
Yeah, and there's plenty of learning opportunities when you're on a shoot like that as well. Like, not only did our tour guides set up a camera in a certain area and take a photo just to show us what they thought a good composition would be, but we had such a diverse set of photographers ranging from different skill levels, from beginner getting back into photography all the way to more advanced photographers helping us realize what composition they were getting. And everyone just kind of had this go-to attitude to say, yeah, try to get the shot as well. Let me step away, get the shot in there, and see if you can replicate it, because I think they were learning from us with maybe some possible little minute tweaks that they wanted to do their photo.
And that is something that I mean, I've talked about this several times about how much I learn from the people on these trips. And it's just so true. A case in point, I uploaded my photos to Pixoto, and I looked, and David Long, who was on the trip, he's an excellent photographer. And I looked at one of his photos that he had posted on Pixoto the same day, and I thought, ah, that looks so much better than mine of the same spot. And so I spent some time looking at a lot of his photos, and there was one thing that he's doing that I haven't been doing a good job of. And so it's something that I've implemented is I usually keep the aspect ratio pretty wide, you know, normal, like it comes straight out of the camera, the 3x2 aspect ratio. But I noticed a lot of his were cropped, some to square, but a lot of them more, you know, maybe 4x3. And I noticed as I looked through quite a few of my photos, I have just kind of dead, useless space off to the edges, the left and right of a horizontal photo. And so I started cropping a lot of them in a little bit tighter into the 4x3 kind of aspect ratio. And I think it really improved a lot of my photos. So David, thank you for doing that. You have no idea that you even taught me that, but you did. And so, man, every time I go on one of these trips, there are little things that I pick up from the participants that are there, and it makes it an incredible learning experience.
And that's really funny, because we were walking around the last day with David Long and Tom Larkin, because we were kind of the stragglers on the last day, who flew out a day later than everyone else. And David is actually asking me, he said, well, how do you do your street photography shots? I really want to get more into portraits. And when he started posting pictures of those portraits, I'm like, I don't need to teach you anything, sir. You got it.
Yeah, he's great.
And there's also some exciting news in 2016. So it looks like Improved Photography is going to be making another appearance in China. Do you want to tell us about that, Jim?
Yeah, so I've traveled to quite a few different spots. I think I counted this morning 6 or 7 countries that I've been to in the last year or two. And China's the only one that I've been to that before we even got on the airplane home, I was already booking my return trip. Like, this, it was just unbelievable. Everything about it was just incredible. The people, the food, the locations, the mountains, it was just unimaginably perfect. The whole experience. And so I wrote back to the other podcast hosts, to everybody else that couldn't come, to Brian and Jeff and Nick and Erica, everybody. And I said, you guys have to come here. You have to come back. And so we are going to do a workshop for all of you that missed out on this workshop that we just did in China. We are going back in 2016, and we're going to take it way up to the next level. I mean, this is going to be absolutely incredible. We're only taking 20 people, and we're going to have 4 of us, the podcast hosts there. Darren, I really wish we could talk you into coming back, but it sounds like you're going to be busy with other projects at the time. But four of us are going to be there. Erica, Nick, and Brian are coming, and we're going to go with a student-to-instructor ratio of 5-1. I mean, that's unheard of. Even the small photography workshops are usually 8-1. This is one instructor for every 5 students. We're going to be in small groups. And what we're going to do is we're going to take the 20 people that sign up, and we're going to do a Skype call with you before we go. And we're going to look over your photos. We're going to talk with you for a while, see what techniques you want to learn, what specific shoots you want to do. If you're like, I want to shoot cormorant fishermen, then let's go shoot it like 3 different times. If you want to focus on landscapes, well then great, let's tailor your trip exactly to that. You know, you want to do portraits, great, you're going to spend a lot of time with Erica then, and you're going to do that. You want to learn flash photography, great, we're going to get just a group, just 5 of the 20 people that day, and we're going to take you out with Erica, and you're going to learn just about this flash technique. Or I want to work on compositions, great, you're going to go with Jim, and we're going to go to this landscape and just shoot it together. It's just going to be this incredible tailored workshop. with 20 people, so it's fun. You get to know everybody. We get to share photos with the big group each day at the hotel and share meals together. But then when we go out to shoot, everybody has the best seat in the house because it's this, you're only going to be with a small group. We are really, really excited for it. It is my absolute guarantee that this is going to be the best photo workshop available anywhere in the world. We are really going all out on this. And the price is going to be incredibly reasonable. Most well-known photographers charge over $10,000 to go do international workshops like this. And we're cutting that price almost by a third. It's not a whole lot more than this free workshop was that we just did. And we're taking the value way, way up for those that are able to do it. And especially because I've already been there and shot there, we can make this a pretty awesome experience. So if you're interested, come sign up at improvephotography.com/China. improvephotography.com/China. You can find out all the details there, the itinerary, dates, everything. It is available. We're only taking 20 people and we're not going to break on that. It's only 20 people. And so if you are interested, the time is now. And also you can get some money off, $400 off if you sign up, I think before July 10, off what's already really, really good deal for a workshop like this. But, you know, most of our workshops are free and we're not making any profit off of. This one we're making a small profit off of. But I really believe that the value that we're giving is going to be absolutely incredible. So come check it out, improvephotography.com/China. It's going to be, it's just unimaginable. You can't imagine what it's like until you're there.
Yeah, it's off the charts. And before we leave you, we always like to leave you with a doodad of the week. And I actually found one inside China that was used by two different photographers. It's actually called the Hoodman Hood Loop. And there's two different versions. There's one that's non-collapsible, which I'll link into the collapsible one in the show notes. That's $89 for one that just stays a little bit more rigid. But for the person trying to save a little bit of space in their gear bag, $10 more for it to collapse. And it's actually a device that you put on the back of your LCD screen when using live mode to help you have a one-to-one magnification of what you're shooting. So it really helps the compositions. And I actually saw two different photographers. One we mentioned, David Long, and another one, Jeff Peterson, who joined us on the workshop as well. And they find this to be very helpful. So it's eventually going to make its way into my camera bag.
Yeah, great. Boy, David's getting shout outs left and right on this one. my doodad for this week is a tri-flash bracket for sure that I used a lot in China, but also the Click Elite ContraJour 40. This is a excellent camera bag. I think it's going to be my new workhorse that I'm going to kind of default to. There's no camera bag that's right for every situation, but this one I was really, really happy with. It's a bigger bag. You wouldn't want this for a small hike, but it's a bigger bag. So for international travel where you're bringing a lot of stuff, boy, this is a great bike, a great bag. What I like about it is there's a pretty generously sized camera compartment that has two easy to get to spots. One kind of where your back touches the bag. There's a big zip out and also on the side to get to the camera. So quick access to the gear. But then there's also another major compartment where you can put clothes and other stuff. I was able to fit a huge amount of gear on there. Go to our Facebook page and I posted a photo before the trip of my bag and all the gear that I had set out that was going in there. It's a lot of gear that goes into that bag. And it was very comfortable. It's reasonably lightweight. I like that it has a rigid aluminum frame in the bag. And so it felt like my gear was very secure, has a spot for a small laptop. It was a pretty cool bag, but check out on our YouTube channel. We'll link to it in the show notes. I did a video of a video review of it that Darren videoed me while we were in China reviewing the bag. So check that out. Click Elite ContraJour 40.
Yes, and thank you so much for joining us on this special edition of the Improve Photography Podcast, where we outlined our adventure in China. And please always go over to the improvephotography.com/workshop webpage and take a look at our upcoming adventures that we will be hosting soon.
And we should call this episode the Dave Long admirers episode, because I don't know why, but we've talked about him several times in here. We might as well link over to his portfolio in the show notes as well.
Yeah, that sounds like a winner.
All right. We'll see ya.